This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 155 of bookcareers.com live. This is the Christmas edition and I always like to do something light-hearted for this week. Remember, if you're struggling mentally, there are lots of people out there to help you, including the Samaritans. Don't be afraid to make that call if you need to. So for this episode, I'm going to talk a bit about the 4 years I spent as a sales representative and key accounts manager for Ian Allen Publishing. 4 years which still remain some of the best of my career. As times have changed, there are fewer sales reps on the road than at any other period. And there are a few messages in here, especially if you're wondering how people end up working with publishers and on books that are not their preferred genre and enjoying it. If you don't know of Ian Allen, the late great Ian Allen CBE was the godfather of train spotting. Back in the 1940s, when he worked for Southern Railways, he started privately publishing lists of train numbers, with permission, of course. From that small acorn, a huge Ian Allen empire was built and covered a number of different areas. Books covering all areas of transport and military, trains, planes, buses, magazines, big names like Aircraft Illustrated, car dealerships. They had a small chain of bookshops and a mail order company. As well as this, they expanded into Masonic regalia, travel, property, and an organic fertilizer company. Over the years, various parts of the company, including the publishing, has been sold on. One of my first memories of Ian Allen was the job interview. I got to the second round and I was interviewed by the publishing director and the sales manager. Throughout the whole interview, they kept badgering me with negative questions, clearly to see how I reacted and bounced back to any negativity booksellers might give. Questions like, why do you want to be a sales rep? How do you know this is the right job for you? And then it came to, how will you cope selling this kind of book? And I replied, would it help if I told you I used to be a bus spotter? And the publishing director pointed to the door and said in a joking voice, get out now. He then said, so are you really sure this is what you want to do? And I replied, yes, but wouldn't you rather I was on your side? I got home and I remember my dad saying to me, how did you get on? And I leant against the front door and I said, I don't know, because if I haven't got that job, I don't know what it is I have to do to get a job. Of course, I got the job and my dad was so excited about me working for Ian Allen. Finally, you'll work for a publisher whose books I want to read, he said. And I started. My training consisted of a day in the office followed by a day with one of the reps. Hello, Paul, if you're listening. I worked in-house in a publisher's sales departments previously, doing customer services, sales admin, and backup for the reps. And making the leap to being in a front-facing role was different. One of the things that I think puzzles those who don't work in sales or who think sales is not for them is what actually happens in a sales call. They think that sales is all about the hard sell and pushing customers into buying things they don't want or even stitching a customer up with a dodgy deal. Yet selling for a book publisher is not like that at all. 90% of my calls were established accounts, people I went to visit regularly. Some I saw weekly, some monthly, some on a 6 to 8 week call cycle, some seasonal, and some annually. But all of them I would have to go back to visit. So if I had stitched them up or done a dodgy deal, I'd have to go back and face them again at some point. Bearing in mind too, that in this industry, the customers go with you. If your job is selling to bookshops, you'll be selling to bookshops no matter what publisher you work for. And as you will hear shortly, you can pick up a reputation, good or bad, which will carry with you. Plus, some selling is consultative. You're getting feedback on book jackets, subject matter, and other areas of interest. Now, whilst publishers might have all sorts of alternative for consultative selling, there might be test samples or feedback groups, nothing can replicate the face-to-face conversation a rep used to have with a bookseller. So what would happen is I would get out my folder, which was a display book with the advanced information sheet and the book jacket facing each other, and all the titles neatly organised into publication date or category. This was before reps had laptops, and I can tell you it used to take quite a while to get the folder in order, and if somebody changed the publication date, it could take an hour to try and reorganize the titles. And usually I'd just say the title and a few key sales points if necessary. Then the bookseller would say yes or no. And if I had a target or knew what had sold well with them previously, I'd persuade them to turn a no into a yes. Usually the appointment would start by talking about the weather, the traffic, or something else. And when I'd seen customers just the once, I'd make a quick note on their record card for something they might have said to me. For example, one buyer was excited about going to visit their family in Tasmania, and I made a note for myself, ask about holiday to Tasmania. Now, this wasn't fake cheesy interest. It's more that when you're seeing so many different people every day, you forget who it is you've spoken to. Most book buyers know what it is they're looking to stock for their shops. You are not there to force them to buy something. And the art of sales is really to get someone to buy something they never knew they wanted. Whatever it is you are selling, you know that if you get it wrong or you try and stitch them up, you'll feel the wrath of the returns note at your next visit. All the books that haven't sold in a neat pile, waiting for you to sign the returns note so they can return the unsold copies, and they'll do this before you sell them anything further. So I needed to learn about the books. And what I did is bought and read 3 second-hand books, The Dumpy Book of Locomotives, The How and Why in Locomotives, and The Loco Spotters Annual of 1961. Thanks to these books, I can tell you the wheelbase of an A1, A3 and A4 locomotive. I know who Sir Nigel Gracely was and who Thompson and Peppercorn were, and I understand what Dr. Beeching did well and what he did badly, and as well as all the regions and what books should be strong in the areas I covered. In fact, I will tell you, I learnt more about British political, economic and social history by selling transport books than I would have done doing anything else. One of my first calls was to Dillon's in Southampton. I went in all smiley, had an appointment, and I said to the manager, "I'm the new Ian Allen rep." And the manager said to me, "Not another one." And I said, "What do you mean? I'm the new Ian Allen rep. Look, I've got a business card and everything. He then went to his little box of index cards, and no word of a lie, he pulled out at least 6 different Ian Allen business cards, all from previous Ian Allen reps. And he said, "We'll see." And then he said to me, "All these people were Ian Allen reps too. I've only ever seen them once." And we went through the call with this running joke going through. And then when it came to making an appointment for the next call, he said to me, "Are you sure you're going to turn up? None of your predecessors have." He said, "If you come back, then you will be the Ian Allen rep, and not a moment before." And sure enough, I made my second appointment. The manager looked at me astounded and said, "My God, she has come back for more abuse. She must be mad." And he then said, "From this point forward, you will be known as the mad woman from Ian Allen, as you are the first person from Ian Allen ever to come back." Now, whilst you might think that this was an insult or completely unacceptable behaviour, that nickname was brilliant and really did make my job easier. Because what that manager did is rang a number of other branches, and this was shortly after Dillons and Waterstones had joined forces, and asked the buyers if they had met the mad woman from Ian Allen yet. So when I got to see a number of other stores, they were really keen to welcome me. One branch ordered £600 worth of stock. And bearing in mind, I come from a section of publishing where it was really hard to get decent stock orders into shops. This felt quite an achievement. And that branch even made me a cup of tea. And after hearing so many reps over the years talk about how hard life was on the road, and it is tough, make no mistake, I was pleasantly surprised. Like if I told one of my former sales directors that a branch of Waterstones had sold 10 copies of a book on publication day, they would think they had a bestseller on their hands. But if I tell you that branch was Canterbury and the book was something like Heyday of the Bus West Yorkshire, you'd go, "Hey?" But that is what it was like selling what appeared to be a specialist list to mainstream booksellers. I had lots of specialist accounts too, like the London Transport Museum, which was great before month end and I needed to get the turnover up. And that is a tip I would give to anyone who is in sales, who is struggling to meet to target. Look at your top 20 accounts, because providing they don't have a buying ban, it is probably easier to get them to top up an order than to work on a smaller but no less profitable account. Other things I got to do was to work at outside events like air shows, Biggin Hill, the Royal International Air Tattoo, at bus rallies and open days at the Preserve Railways. One of the Preserve Railways I used to call on, the shop manager was also the reserve guard. "Hello, Chris, if you're listening." And when I got to our appointment, he said he had to be the guard for the day. So I got to sell him new Ian Allen titles riding on a steam train. Perfect. And with all the air shows, I saw the red arrows so many times. And when the commentator said, "And it's the red arrows," I'd say, "Not the red arrows again." Although now I do ensure I watch any fly past, as I do miss those days. Yes, I had rejection. I had lots of rejection. In fact, the three things I used to say I couldn't cope with were rejection, returns, and remainders, which is why sales was the best home for me. Now, there's so much more I could tell you on this, and I might do an episode 2 at some stage about the bookshop that didn't even know they had a transport section, for instance. In the meantime, enjoy your holidays and have a very happy new year. I'll be getting back to email in the first week of January, so if you're stuck in your publishing career, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers or on Twitter @bookcareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.